Well, I want to read out of John 3 today. It's been something that's been mulling around in my spirit for a few years, and I just want to touch base on a few things. And you know, as I the one blessing I get when I travel to and minister in different places is you really get to see where most of the people, most of the Christian people are at in the world. And you realize how blessed you are to know what you know. And some of the basic things that we know is so foundational. Some of the things that I've learned here has been so foundational in the painting of the image of my Father and of me. And without those basic things, I'd have a different image of my who God is and who I am. And I was talking to one preacher, and he was asking me some questions when I was in Canada, and I was explaining to him about I just started explaining about one thing, and I started off with talking about, well, you know, no one was born again. No one was saved before Jesus died and went to the cross and was resurrected. He said, "What?" I said, "Yeah, well, yeah." I said, "They didn't go to heaven, they went to paradise." He said, "Where?" And for me, it was so foundational. I had to stop and rewind and explain to him that you can serve God as an Old Testament saint and walk in power, but you still weren't born again, you know. And and I have to admit, I remember for years that I preached and served God faithfully and loved God, that I never had a clue about what my born-again experience meant. And I remember talking to Pastor Dave in the car one time having coffee, and I've been preaching for years. I've been praying in tongues for a long time and listening to all his tapes. You know, I kind of learn a different way. I don't learn like some people, but I have to catch it almost. And we're sitting in the car, and I said, "What? You mean I have a spirit?" You know, and he looked at me like, "Where you been?" But it became my image. It became my truth, you know. And so I want to start here in John chapter 3, in verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, well, we'll start in verse 1. "And there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him.' God answered and said to him, 'Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God.'" Now, that word born again, we kind of use it a little freely. Like, I'm a born again Christian. You know, I'm born again. But it's describing something here. It's not a title. It's a description. Jesus says you must be born again. Now, let me say that again. This is not a title, like Baptist, like, or Christian, born-again Christian, non-born-again Christian faith, Muslim, Mormon, Jewish. It's not a title here. This is a description. It's imagery, okay? And Jesus says you must be born again. Now, when Christy gave birth to our first son, our first kid, a son, a good child named Harrison, I tried to be funny and say, well, I'm not going in the labor room. I'm going to sit out in the lobby, and I'm going to hand out cigars. And, you know, maybe 15 years ago, you can probably squeak by if you're tough enough and man enough. But nowadays, it's impossible. you as a man will be in that labor room, and you'll be watching that baby be born. I mean, it's, I was attacked by women I don't even know. What do you mean you're not going to be in the labor room? You created that thing. You better be in there with her, helping her give birth to it. Welcome to the 21st century. I used to hear old guys joke. Yeah. You know, back in the old days, women would be out picking corn in the field and give birth and finish their row. <You know? laughs> Well, it ain't now, that's for sure. Right now, you're helping to pick corn. You're sitting there with her driving the truck, you know. So when Jesus gives this term, born, again, the key word here is born. But the word born means birth, new existence. You know, Harrison, our first kid, he... Yeah, I'm not prophesying, just so you know. Don't let Christy listen to this tape. Okay. But me and my wife, we created this creature who never existed before. God knew that he was coming for a billion gazillion years, but he never met him or never saw him until he came into existence inside of Christy's womb. That's the first moment in conception when Harrison came to life, came to existence. So we created a little baby who was born. Born is a new existence. It's you are created. You come to life. Okay? So when Jesus makes this statement to Nicodemus, a good man who loved God but was not born again. Why was he not born again? Because Jesus had not died and been resurrected yet. So it was impossible for anyone to be born again until after Jesus was resurrected. So when Jesus looks at him and says, you must be born again. This is a new term. No wonder why Nicodemus shook his head. Said, huh? What? What do you mean? You must be born again. If you're going to see the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. This is not a title. Born again Christian. That's a worse title. I don't like that title anymore. Because it's not a good description. If you're a Christian, there's only one way to become a Christian. It's not an accepting of a church. It's not an accepting of a religion. There's only one way to become a Christian. You must be born a Christian. There's only one way for you to come into existence. Your mom and dad had to make you. You had to be born. So Jesus looks at this man who loves God and says, everything you do is not good enough. You must be born again. Birth. See, he puts these two words together. Born again. Nicodemus, verse 4, said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Because Nicodemus realized he was old. When I was in Brazil last month, we had an 87-year-old lady, 86 or 87-year-old lady, give her heart to God. I thought, phew, this is just slipping right in there, you know? And all the years before didn't matter, because you can be as old as you want. Doesn't matter. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? So that's a good question. Nicodemus is understanding Jesus' statement when he says you must be born again. Nicodemus knows this isn't a title. Oh, I'm of the Pharisee of this school, I need to be of the born-again school. Okay, I just need to... Nicodemus understood the word born when Jesus said you must be born again. How is that possible? It's impossible. How am I going to be born? Does an old man like me gray hair, go back into my, climb back into my mother's womb to be born again. How do I get born again? How is it possible? You must be born again. So Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water, and we understand that to mean born of a woman. When the doctor told us that Harrison's due date was on April 18th, that's Christy's birthday. Christy wanted him to be born a day earlier or a day later. And I said, no, I like it on the 18th. I said, I'm believing for the 18th because that means I only have to worry about one day. One date. So on the morning of the 18th, her water broke. And Christy, my wife, at 4:30 in the morning-ish, said, I think my water just broke. And I said, don't ever tell me I didn't give you anything good for your birthday. And I was so happy to call that doctor at 4:30 in the morning and wake him up. So inside of a woman, when they have a baby, it's in water. Their water breaks. So here Jesus says, yes, you must. Verse 5, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So you never existed. You didn't. Say me. I. Okay, I'll say you. You never existed until your parents created you. You could not exist without being born first into the human race. You, your existence started when God breathed life into Adam, into the seed Adam. That was the same life that you were born with. He created, not just breathed life into Adam, he breathed life into the entire human race when he breathed into Adam that moment. That's when you came into existence. You were born into your earthly family. Now, we know the born-again trail, so I'm not going to repeat any of that or much of that. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. But that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So Jesus tells Nicodemus, unless one is born of the water first and of the Spirit, born, not a title. A image. So if you're only born of the flesh, then you have a nature or a spirit that is dark. It is also the same as the flesh. But when you're born again, you know, Nicodemus couldn't be born again until after Jesus left. In fact, most of Jesus' preaching is about this transition. You must be born of the Spirit. Water, Spirit. Flesh, Spirit. You must be born first of your flesh, of the water, of the earthly family. But then, when you're born again, you are born. Now, I used to make fun of people when they would tell me, you know, oh, it's my birthday today. I'd say, oh, happy birthday. I didn't know. Joe, I'm sorry I didn't see it on Facebook. I would have wished you happy birthday. Oh, no, not my natural birthday, my spiritual birthday, when I was born again. And I go, oh, happy birthday. That's okay. You know, that's cute, you know. But now I begin to realize how truthful that is. Scripture tells us that when you were born again, a new creature, a new creation came to life. So you have to be born the first time. I know I'm going slow, but just stay with me. Put up with me. of your natural family. But then when you're born of the Spirit, this is a birth. This is a new existence. This is the same as when you watch a little baby take its first breath. When you humbled yourself and asked Jesus into your heart, that's the day you were actually born. You were born that day. Now, Adam, God told him, if you eat of that tree, you will surely die. And you know that the moment he ate of that tree, he died. Adam actually died that moment. Now, if you were to look at Adam, he reached over, he took the fruit, whatever it was, and he took a bite of it. And the moment he sinned, that's the moment Adam actually died. But if you look at Adam, it would be like he blinked. Blink. He looked the same. His face looked the same. His memories were all there. His thoughts were all there. His probably his personality or his you know, if he, whatever he found funny was still there. He was still there. But Adam died. And inside, inside, his nature turned from light to dark. How many know what I'm talking about? You better if you're here at the prayer center. You'd be like me looking at Pastor Dave, huh? Adam actually died. Do you understand? It wasn't symbolic. It wasn't, Adam died. And there in front of God was a new creature that never existed before, created in the darkness of dark, whose father was now the devil. The seed of the entire human race was now dark. Adam died. And there's a new creature standing there. But if you looked at him, it's like he blinked. Just like when you were born again. I remember when I was born again. I knelt down at the altar and I remember feeling something, but it was like I blinked. I had the same face, the same memories, the same personality. But here, all of a sudden, is a new creature standing there. Born out of the hands of love. Born out of the life of heaven. A new creature came into existence. Understand me. I was born. And the word that we struggle with is again. Because we think when we're born again, it's you were born. Again meaning he took you. See, he took you out of the old person and put you in this new person. God took me out of Alan and gave me a new existence. Alan Taylor died the moment I was born again out of humility. I put him to death. So now I'm a new creature. The day I was born was the day I asked Jesus into my heart. Old things passed away. Verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Every human born is born of flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The day you were born again, you weren't fixed. You couldn't fix the human race. The human race was condemned to live and die and spend eternity in hell. God doesn't send people to hell. Adam did. God's a judge. He'll tell you where you're going and why you're going there. But he's not the one who sends people there. Adam's the one who sent the entire human race, every person born. Now, I want us to go over to John chapter 16. As I am discovering more in myself the power of being born into the family. Born again is not a title. And the word again isn't really fitting. Because even though you were born again, born a second time, it doesn't mean you were fixed. It means you were created. The day you asked Jesus into your heart, that's the day you were created. God took you out of the old you and put you in this new creation. Now you're still stuck with the flesh of the old you. You got this flesh of the old you. The flesh isn't just the body. It's the thoughts, the emotions. It's everything that used to live without a spirit. It's like a chicken when you cut its head off and let it go. It runs around thinking that you're like, well, you know. That's like your flesh. It thinks it's still in charge. Now, John chapter 16. I will start in verse 16. A little while and you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me because I go to the Father. Then some of the disciples said among themselves, what is this that he's saying to us? A little while and you'll see me. And again a little while and you will see me. And because I go to the Father. They said therefore, what is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, are you inquiring amongst yourself about what I said a little while, and you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me? I find that most Christians that I run into are living with a view of themselves as they are fixing or a fixed human. A higher human, maybe a born again human. That God's fixing me. And their me gets lost in who they are. I'm trying to confuse you right now. Most believers are acting like Old Testament Satans in the way they believe God for things, the way they view their relationship with God, the way they view themselves, the way they view their authority. Because they don't understand what being born again means. I remember watching a girl who we had worked with for years on drugs, and she had a good week. And you know, she's great now, by the way. She's done incredible. But she had a good week, and this was within many bad weeks, good week, many bad weeks, good week. Well, this was in one of the good weeks. And I remember sitting in the church, and she got up to testify during her good week how she was doing. And that I'm doing great. I'm really passionate about God, and her heart was there, but she had to walk things out before she can catch up to her heart. But she was all dressed up, real pretty, clean. You know, I was have an image of where I was the week before, you know, cleaning up and repairing, you know. But here she was all pretty, dressed good. You know, she meant everything she said from her heart. You know, don't misunderstand me, but I was sitting there watching her testify about how she was excited about her future. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I didn't tell her to conform herself into a Christian. I told her to transform herself. And see, for the longest time, I thought, do not be conformed into this world. But I thought the transformation was similar. Be conformed into a Christian. Take the flesh and its thoughts and conform it into a Christian. And just like this little girl was dressed up on the outside, many of us have tried to conform our vocabulary, conform our spirituality, conform ourselves to similar. We dress it up. But at the root, it's wrong. You're not a fixed human. You're no longer human. You're a child of God. It doesn't say to be conformed. Do not conform yourself into this world, but conform yourself into a Christian. It says, do not be conformed into this world, but be transformed. Many people, the way they believe God for things. Now I'm preaching to myself, by the way. When they stand before God, they stand from the wrong place. They're believing from the wrong place. Most assuredly, verse 20, I say to you, talking to his disciples who were sad when they knew that Jesus was leaving. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she's given, what? Birth to the child, she'll no longer remembers the anguish for the joy a human being is born into the world. Now, for the longest time, I felt that this verse, the key words here were sorrow and joy. But I'm here to tell you today that the key word here is not sorrow and joy, but birth. Jesus is looking at these hairy, mustachy, bearded men, and he tries to give them an example of sorrow. A woman, when she is about to give birth, right before, she's in sorrow, in anguish. Now, if I tried that with my wife, said, oh, I can understand what I've been through this last month, honey. It must be just like what you went through when you were in labor. You know, I can understand what you went through. Oh, my goodness. I feel your pain, baby. I feel it. Now, all you women who have given birth are like, you come here and I'll let you feel it. Some of you still remind your kids 25 years later. Yeah, I was in labor for 20 hours giving birth to you, kid. You owe me. I'm going to retire and you're going to pay for it. You understand? So Jesus is looking at these hairy-legged, bearded men who have no idea what labor means and says to them, you're sorrowful now because I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. And see, when he says he's coming back, he's saying you're going to be born into the family. See, remember when Mary is knocked on the door with her, with Jesus' brothers and sisters and said, the ushers came and said, Jesus, your mother's here to see you. And Jesus said, well, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? But these here who believe in the Word of God. You know, I know my mom, if the little usher came out and said, well, Jesus said his mother and brothers are already inside, she'd be hurt, and then she'd be mad. And she'd come busting through that door saying something like, I'm going to fix your britches and show you just how big of a boy you are. Jesus, come here. Come. I said, change your diapers? Telling me who's my mother. These guys change your diapers? I change your diapers? But see, he was telling his mom, Mary, his brothers who grew up with him, his sister, saying, Mary, you gave birth to me. I'm your son, but there's a day coming where I'll have to become your Lord. Because being my mother is not enough to get you into heaven. You must be born also into this family. See, there's only one way to get to heaven. Heaven's an exclusive club, family only. No one else is allowed. And there's only one way to become family. You must be born into the family. You, my friend, are not adopted into God's family. You are born into His family. So when he says here in verse 21, talking to his hairy-legged, bearded disciples, who are sorrowful because Jesus is about to leave, he says to them, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow, because her hour has come. But as soon as she's given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being is being born into this world. Now, please understand the imagery that Jesus is giving to these disciples. There's that word, birth, born. I hope you're catching where I'm going with this. Verse 22, therefore you now have sorrow, but I'll see you again, and your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you. And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you. Jesus is talking to them about being born again. And he's using this reference to these hairy-legged, bearded men. A woman when she is in labor. The key word here is the birth, not the sorrow. Not that you're going to be, all right, man, I know you're upset because I told you I'm leaving. But don't worry, I'll be back and we'll party. We'll have a good time. I'll make you feel good about yourself again. Don't worry, we'll feel good. See, he's not emphasizing on sorrow. He's emphasizing on birth. That when I come back, I have to go so you can be born into the family of God, and God can become your father the same way he's my father. And then you won't need to ask me to go to him for you. You'll ask him yourself, because he'll be your father the same way he's my father. The key word here is birth. He's telling the hairy-legged men that there's a baby about to be born into this family of God that never existed before. And you hold the power to make it happen. Just like a woman when she gives birth, she has to be there. Some of you women are like, I know. Tell me about it. Us men haven't gone to the lobby ain't allowed either anymore, you know. You know, I got to be here, husband. You got to be here. The woman has to be there for the birth. Without her being there, there is no birth. The birth, the baby, came out of the woman. That's what happened with our kids. Don't worry, I thought I would be freaked out, but I wasn't. It was actually pretty cool watching little Harrison's see him for the first time, being the first one to hold them. You know. So man, you do have to be there when the baby's born. But Jesus is telling the disciples the same thing. All right, hairy-legged, bearded men. You're like a woman right now. In sorrow. See, the sorrow isn't the point. He's not trying to tag. Let me think, how do I... The sorrow you're feeling is kind of like, you know, when a woman gives birth and all these hairy-legged men are going, oh yeah, I understand. He's not trying to tag the experience of sorrow that they're feeling with an experience a woman feels. He's telling them that what they're going through is the same labor that a woman goes through. That in the hour she's about to give birth, she's in sorrow and anguish. But after the baby is born, she no longer remembers everything before. Hairy-legged, bearded disciples, you're like a woman in labor. There is a new birth about to happen. A baby that never existed before is about to be born out of you. The same way a woman gives birth to a child. You have to be there. You have to make the choice to humble yourself and ask Jesus to let you be born into the family of God. In the same way a woman gives birth, these hairy-legged men were about to give birth to a new child that never existed before. Someone born into the family of God. See, when I was born again, he didn't fix Alan Taylor. He put him to death. And a new creature was birthed the moment I was born again. I am born into the family of God. And just like when Adam blinked and died on the inside, the day I was born again, I knelt down at the altar. And that's the moment that Alan Taylor was put to death. God rescued me out of Alan Taylor. And how amazing. How amazing for him. I don't even know. A thousand more years of preaching, we'll never get to it. How it was possible for God to make it possible, to make it legal, to take you out of the old human that you were and somehow take you and put you in this new creature. You are now a new creature, born the day you were born again. And everything before that moment, every sin, every weakness, every fear, every failure, every mistake, that anguish that you felt the moment you were born again. How do you describe that, by the way? How do you describe being born a second time? That's why it's so confusing. It takes so long for people to understand. It took me so long for me to understand this. I've served God since I've been 19 years old in full-time ministry. I've served God and been faithful to God and prayed for the sick and preached and laid hands on people and led people to the Lord and saw miracles. But yet it's only the last few years that I'm really beginning to understand who I really am. My authority to believe God for miracles doesn't come because of anything other than I am His child. He is my Father. I am born into His family. Look at verse 20 again. Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice and you will be sorrowful. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she's given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into this world. Now, you hold all the power to be born into the kingdom of God. And you hold none of the power. It's not by your ability, your works, or anything that you've done that allows you to be born into the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Amen. It's by what Jesus has done. But there is one thing that you hold all the power to, and that is your choice. You can refuse to ask Jesus into your heart and you'll never be born again. Even though all the work of heaven has been done and accomplished and everything that's required has already been paid for, there's one thing you do have to do, and that is you have to ask. You have to humble yourself. Every human faces two deaths. It's like the way the Lord showed me was there's this long train track that runs for generation after generation after generation after generation for thousands of years. And there's a train which has bars on the windows and locks on the doors. And every human that's born is born inside that train. And for thousands of years, they tried to break out of that train. And they couldn't. That train had bars on the windows and locks on the doors. And these humans inside this train kept reproducing for generation after generation, but there was no getting out of that train. It was locked. And if you followed the track all the way down the desert, you'll find that it drops off this cliff and goes to hell. And every human born is born inside that train. There's no getting out. They tried every which way. Pick it with good works. There was no way out of that train. You were destined, the moment you're born, to die on that train. The human race. There's no getting out. Mark, I'll steal from Mark here. What did you say? You give credit one time and that's it? All right. This is your credit. But it's really, I love, just, well, I'm going to say brilliant. It's from the Holy Ghost. But I love the imagery when he preached this a while back. It just exploded. How Jesus, he opened a door into the human race. Now you can tell me if I'm preaching it wrong, but he opened the door into the human race, and then the door closed behind him and disappeared. Is that right? That Jesus, here on this train, the human race was trapped and locked, and there was no way out. And that train was going to send you to hell. There is no way out. God does not send people to hell. He's been trying to rescue us from hell ever since. He's a judge. You'll stand before him and angels will open books and they'll tell you exactly why you're going there and how many times he tried to stop you and you chose not to accept deliverance. He's a judge and tell you why you're going there, but he is not the one who sent you there. Adam was. Now, all of a sudden on this train, locked inside was a little baby. Jesus. He was born inside the human race. And Jesus, when he died on the cross, he opened a new door. Light shone inside for the first time. And that new door led to a new family. Said, why don't you get off this train? And he reached out his hand to the human race. Said, come on. But there's only one way to get off this human race train. You have to die there. And be born into my family. See. Every human faces two deaths. The first death is the death of your body. When your body falls off of you. I'll be 104. I can say 120 just by faith, be a faith man. But I'll be around 104, 120. I'll be preaching somewhere and I'll be pointing my finger at the crowd. And preaching mean. Get saved or go to hell. And the crowd will go, oh! And when the crowd does it, I'll look at my finger and wonder, why did they just go, oh! And there on the ground behind me, as I turn around, is my body laying there. But I'll still be there. My body will be on the ground. And with that body will have everything of my flesh. Do you understand? You know why there's no sorrow in heaven? There's no sickness. You want to know why there's no anger or jealousies in heaven? Because the source of those things that you fight with will be here on this earth, your flesh. You will be there. But finally, your flesh will fall off of you. So the first death that every person faces is their flesh falling off of them. What's the second death? Eternal separation from God. When you stand before God and he says, I'm sorry. You're not family. You cannot enter into heaven. Here's the books to show you every time I tried to reach out to you. Through a TV preacher, through a store, a guy at the store you ran into, through someone praying for you. Here's where you declined. And I'm sorry, but you're not family. You're eternally damned to hell. See, that's the second death. So when you ask Jesus into your heart, that's the day you faced your second death by humility. That's the day that you put to death the nature, the person, the human. You put him to death or her to death that moment that you asked Jesus into your heart. And that's the moment you were born. You came into existence. You have to be there like a woman in labor. It's your choice. You choose it. But because you chose it, you now face the second death and you're born into the family of God. Let me read to you out of 1 Corinthians real quick. Chapter 5. We'll start in verse 12. We do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, or if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge death thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. All these verses are coming to life to me like never before. I can quote them. I've quoted them over and over and over. I share them. They spurt out of my mouth so fast I don't even catch them. But listen to this. I want to encourage you this morning. You're not in repair. You're born into his family. You're not repairing yourself. You're not making up for past mistakes. You're fighting and mortifying the flesh. Your job is not to fix it, it's to put it to death. But you, see, I remember I used to judge people. Well, that guy, he's a jerk. That girl, she's a hussy. You know, you judge people because of the way they act. And I begin to understand that when you're born again, the real you, see, when I started to see the difference between my flesh and me, it helped me to wage a good warfare the right way. It helped me to believe God for things while I was fighting with my flesh rather than trying to fix my flesh before I believed God for things. You have become a new creation, a new creature. The day you asked Jesus into your heart, you weren't adopted into his family. You were born. That's the day you came into existence. Verse 14. For the love of God compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You don't need to tell anyone what country you come from, what culture you have. Now, I'm a proud Canadian. It's in my, you know, what I eat, who I cheer for in sports. But truthfully, I'm no longer Canadian. If I let my Canadian culture dictate to me my life, then I am submitting to the culture of my flesh. Oh, I'm preaching good there. I have a new culture I have to learn to belong to. It's called the culture of heaven. A new family that tells me who I am. God is my Father. Truthfully, He is my Father. I have been born into His family. I held the power like a woman does. Hairy legged, half a beard. I didn't have that when I got born again, though. Just like you held the power to be born into the family of God. You are His child. When you stand before God, when you're believing for miracles, your authority comes from that one moment. He took you, He took me out of Alan and put me in this new creation, this new creature. That's who I am. That is who I am. That is who I am. That's why when I say, you're not your struggles. They're your struggles, but they're not you. And I used to look at people and say, oh, that girl, she's a hussy. Look at her. She's just flirting with every guy, trying to get everyone's attention. That guy, look at him, he's mean. What a jerk. But they're born again. You ever meet a born again jerk? Yeah. Don't look around. How come all the heads just turned over one area all of a sudden? Yeah. Met him this morning in the parking lot. Yeah. The real person inside is pure. The core is love, gentleness, goodness. The reason why we fight these things is because our flesh, who no longer belongs to us. Now, it's your responsibility to put it to death. God won't do it for you. I can't do it for you. The man who comes up to me and says, preacher, I need you to pray for me. What's wrong? I need the devil cast out of me. Okay? Yeah, I need, I'm having a problem with this, with anger or with jealousy. I need you to cast it out of me. I'm having a problem with jerkiness. Cast it out of me. It's like, you know, I'm really good at casting out devils. I've been trained and cast out lots of devils. Big devils, little devils. So I can cast out devils. The problem is, even though I can cast out devils, I can't cast out flesh. I can't help you with that. I can pray for you that God will give you the strength and the grace for you to conquer it. Let me introduce you to the Holy Spirit so you can mortify it. But so much of the flesh that we call us is no longer you. That's why you can go boldly into God's presence while you're struggling with your flesh. That's why you can believe God for miracles and believe God for answered prayer, even in the midst of your struggles. And do you understand? If you get this revelation, you'll start believing God for incredible things. So many of us, good faith people, we put our believing on the shelf until we fix this. And we're in the repair shop of our flesh trying to fix it. It's not meant to be fixed. There's only one tool you need in your flesh. And that's called a sword. It's a putting to death, a dagger, and not a repairing of your flesh, a repairing of your thoughts. It's a mortification. What many of us have called in the church world healing, inner healing, is actually a form of mortification. That I'm putting to death the power of my past. That past, my mistakes, your mistakes that you made. I remember one man came up to me, he said, I need prayer for my kidneys. The doctor says I have kidney disease and I need you to pray for them. I said, okay. But I don't know if God's going to heal me. I said, well, why not? He said, well, you know, I've been eating all the things I'm not supposed to eat. I've been eating hamburgers and pizza. And so I don't know if God will heal me. I said, well, sir, I have to admit something to you. I've been eating hamburger and pizza too. And I don't have kidney disease. And it's like a light bulb went off. Oh, hallelujah. I can receive based on who God made me, in what Jesus did, not based on what I have overcome. Are you getting this yet? Who are you? Stop and think for that for a moment. Who are you? Who are you really? Are you a struggling, messed up person, just holding on for dear life? Afraid that its people will catch you in your thoughts and catch you in your actions? Afraid that God will catch you or finally expose you? Who are you really? I'll tell you who you are. If I unzipped your flesh off of you, you'll find out exactly who you are. And it's beautiful. It's light. It's pure. It's perfect. And that's the real you. That's where your authority comes from. That's who you were born. You didn't choose to be like that. You were born into the family. The only choice you had to make was to humble yourself, to put the old man to death and be born. You're not a born-again Christian. I'm not a born-again human. The nature of human was put to death the day I asked Jesus into my heart. I am now a Christian, born out of the world of Adam and born into the family of God. There's no question about who I am, because it's in me. It's who I am. And one day I'll get a new flesh, and this old flesh will fall off, and my new flesh won't age, won't cause me any trouble, struggle, jealousies, envies. If I unzipped your flesh from you, that's who you are. That's who God sees. You were born into His family. You're not just a servant. He's your Father. Quit worrying so much about rejection from Him. And start expecting acceptance from Him. Amen? All right. You are released. We'll see you at 10 o'clock.